Said I want to talk today about things that Christians do. Things that Christians do. And when I say that, I want you to think with me. So I'm going to need some feedback. And maybe I could get some help. Would my lovely wife be willing to be totally surprised and not be warned at all and come up here right now and come up here and write on the board? That's what I need. I need someone who can spell. She's going to watch me screw it up. I won't. I'll be looking this direction. Oh, actually, I can see you right there. But anyway, all right, so help me out. What are some things that if you asked just anybody, any citizen walking down the street, what are some things that Christians do? You know, that you expect Christians probably do. What do they do? What? Well, no, I don't mean just out on the, I mean just habits and things that we would do. So yeah, did you say smile? Well, that's a good one. I like that. That'll work. Walk past. Well, you kind of have to do that if you're walking down the street. But I mean, I don't mean like people on the street. I'm just meaning people in church or outside of church. What are the things that Christians do? What kind of, what? Pray. There you go. Yeah. Not that hard. This isn't, don't think too hard. What else do we do? What do Christians do? Read their Bibles, serve. I got two of them. Was there another one in there? Okay, read their Bibles, serve, pray. What?
Give.
Absolutely. That's what Christians do.
Receive.
Amen. That's not... Well, somebody said serve already. Did we get serve written down?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just doing this so that I can look back at it here in a little bit. What else do Christians do? What? Go to church. She wrote that down. What else?
Help others.
Yeah. Can you think of other things? What about what do you think that Christians do, especially when it comes to like our church? Do we well, here's one. Lay hands on people. Pray, lay hands on the sick. Okay.
Evangelize.
Yeah, what was, I heard some.
Testimonies.
Give testimonies. Absolutely. Love each other. Prophesy. We're saying it so fast she can't write them all down.
Right.
Testimonies, love each other.
I have two others.
Prophesy. I think that's a pretty good list. That's a pretty good list.
That's prophecy.
That's prophecy, but it's close enough. All right, thank you, Miss Lisa. How many think she was just wonderful today? And how many of you know that she spelled more things right than I would have by a long shot? I'll see that later on the video. I mean, so, you know, whatever that was, I'm going to see it. So here's my question. Is this how people know who we are? All of a sudden it's like, because sometimes Christians... Maybe we could say, yes, this is us. We are like this to a T. But is this how the world perceives Christians?
No.
I'm afraid not. I'm concerned not. I'm wondering if the world perceives this. But I want you to turn your Bibles to John. And the Apostle John has a lot of things to say. And I might repeat myself later because it's later in my notes, but I'm just going to say it now. I've been listening to John. I listened through the whole Bible this year before the 1st of July. I listened through the whole Bible just while I was taking a shower and combing what little hair I have left and, you know, getting ready in the morning. And I listened through and I thought, I'll just listen through again. And then for some reason I thought, no, I'm going to listen to John.
It's about time.
Yeah. It's about time I listen to somebody. And so I've been listening to the book of John, and I'll hear things. I'm actually hearing different translations even, and I'm going back and looking up words and just trying to figure things out. And in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this," everybody say this,
yes.
"By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And it's interesting, and I'm not mad at you, because when I would have been asked this same question, probably before just recently, I would have probably clicked into all the things that we click into when we think about what Christians are expected to be doing, the things that Christians do. People expect Christians to do this list of things. They really do. They expect it, except they don't expect it because they've also seen Christians who don't do it, right? And so this is not how maybe the world perceives us. But there was one answer that was right along where I wanted to go today, and it's right here. Love each other. By this shall some men know. By this will all men know. And by the way, I wonder if men wonder whether Christians love each other these days. Have you noticed, hello, that there's a lot of Christians who have made mistakes and a whole lot of other Christians jumping on them for everything they've got? How's that? Does that look like love one another? Wow. I'm not saying that we ignore things that people do that are wrong. I'm saying when they do stuff wrong, are we loving them or are we making sure that everybody knows that they're not right, that we're better than them? Oops. Because that doesn't seem like love to me. In fact, there's a verse that says love covers a multitude of sins. I didn't write that one down, but I'll find it for you later if you need it. I think it's Peter who says that. Yeah, so, you know, you can smile and not be a Christian, but they won't know we're Christians by our smiles. They won't know we're Christians by our prayers. They won't know we are Christians by our Bible reading. They won't know we are Christians because we serve. How many of you know there are people out there serving who aren't Christians? They won't know that we're Christians because we give. They won't know that we're Christians because we receive. They won't know that we're Christians because we go to church. How many know there are a few churches out there that aren't even the Church of Jesus Christ? It won't be because we help others. It won't be because we lay hands on the sick. It won't be because we have testimonies. And it won't be because we prophesy. I'm not saying don't do those things. I'm not saying don't do that. Those things have value, but how will the world know that we are Christians? How will all men know that we are Christians? Because we love one another. Some of you may remember, I hope most of you were able to be here for it, but 3 weeks ago I did a message called The Real Discipleship. If you haven't heard it already, well, you just missed the boat. Come on, it's a dad joke. Come on. All right, never mind. You can't get even anybody to hardly grin, let alone. Okay. But seriously, if you did miss it, I really want you to hear that message, because that message is directly complementary to this message today. And so it'll catch you up. And there may be more coming that are connected to this. Because it's important because we are called to make disciples. It's important because in that message I pointed out that discipline is not the primary quality of being a disciple. I pointed out in that message that love is the primary quality of being a disciple. It's the number one thing. It's the thing we're working for. Everything else has to be part of that. If the other stuff aren't part of that, then we aren't getting it. We're not getting it in a way that the world will get it. I want the world to get it. I want the world to look at you and me. I want the world to look at all Christians and go, oh, now we know that they were his disciples. Because they love one another. They really, really do. The Pharisees were the ones with disciples who prided themselves in their disciplines and their knowledge of the Scripture. And Jesus spoke to them about that. He said in Matthew 23:15, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel the land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are yourselves." See, we can just do all the stuff that we think we've got to do. We can line up our checklist and check off the checklist and everything. But if we don't do it in love, if we don't do it the way that Jesus did it with his disciples, then we're going to make disciples who aren't fit for what God wants to do. Am I making sense at all? Are you following? Are you tracking where we're going here? I'm not against the things on the board, but in the light of what Jesus said in chapter 13, our first quote of the day, it's something different that is the true marker of real discipleship. And that's important. I would like people to think of me as the most loving person they've ever met. And yet I'm not sure that I focused on that as much as I should have before now. This is a challenge to me as well as a challenge to anybody who hears this message. Am I primarily known for being a loving guy? And by the way, you go on social media and people make a name for themselves on social media and they're known for blah, blah. They're known for this. They're known for that. What am I known for on social media? And what am I known for when people run into me in town? And what am I known for when people from my church and I get to spend time together? We had a little incident before church where my granddaughter was jubilantly running through the room. And someone mentioned that she has the hacker voice. Well, it is what I'm known for. I don't have volume issues. Have you noticed? The wife said, "Amen." We are going to be known for stuff because there are stuff that we're good at. But I'm starting to think to myself, if I'm known for this or that or the other, you know, oh, he can sing or he can do this or he can do that. What do I really want to be known for? Because by this will all men know that I'm his disciple. And it's for this, by this, shall all men know. It's by love. I'm not loving enough. I'm just not. I mean, let's think about it this way. How many of you love the people around you as much as Jesus loves you? Not even close. But what a model. What a thought that I'm supposed to love others, because Jesus said this is what he wants me to do. Love others as I have loved you. Wow. Kind of a tall order. I don't know if I can do that. And I can't without his help, that's for sure. I can't do that without his strength in me. So are we really loving anybody? Are we really loving anybody like he loved us? And that kind of love that Jesus had is a lay down your life love. It's a lay down your life love. How many of you are familiar with John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life." Sometimes I don't know how to say it anymore because I used to say it King James Version and I just don't know what to do anymore. I've got too many other versions. But we all know John 3:16. Does anybody, because if you'd asked me, I probably wouldn't know. I'll be honest. Does anybody know 1 John 3:16? I want to challenge us to learn 1 John 3:16. I knew it, but I didn't know the address. I knew it. I could repeat it, but I couldn't tell you where to find it. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." Wow. That's the kind of love that Jesus wants us to have. Lay down your life, love. Most of the time, we don't have to worry about actually expiring as a result of laying down our life. But most of the time, we can't even maybe switch off the TV to talk to somebody. Or stop doing whatever we're doing because they're bothering us and we've got to finish our project and we don't have time maybe for our kids or our grandkids at this age. I'd have to lay down my life if the... Now they're interrupting. Oh. So 3 weeks ago, I talked about the real discipleship, and I said it was the love boat. And some people laughed a little bit because there used to be a show called that, and it was nowhere near the love boat that Jesus has. I'm telling you that right now. I wasn't referring to that, the love boat, the TV show. But as I said, I've been listening to John, and John is amazing because he is the apostle of love. He writes more about love than any of the other apostles in his gospel, and then he has three letters, and he writes about love in those letters. And it's pretty amazing to listen to, and I've been listening to 1 John especially, five chapters, and every chapter he says something about loving and being a lover. 1 John 4:20 says this, and I found this pretty interesting, and I've quoted it a lot of times. You've probably heard me quote it. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Wowzers. I think I love God, but you... Wow, that's a lot right there. That's a heavy lesson. By the way, would you mind if I got a little heavier on us in the day that we're living in? Maybe I need to get heavier on me and you're just going to get caught in the crossfire. Or maybe in the day we're living in, we need to be more loving. Isn't anybody in this room probably that doesn't know what happened yesterday with an assassination attempt on a candidate? And it's because this country has a whole lot of divisiveness going on right now, and anger and bitterness, and now turning into downright hatred. Will they know that we are love in the election year? Will they know us by our love in the election year? Will they know that we're his disciples because of the way we love in an election year? And I know it says we have to love the brethren. That's good news, because then we don't have to love anybody else. There are going to be Christians who are going to take it that way. Be careful. Be careful. There has never been a better time in our lifetimes than this moment right now, in our lifetimes. In your lifetime, mine. There's never been a better time than right now for us to suddenly be known that we're his disciples by our love. And it might get harder before it gets easier. How many of you know it could get harder? Things have been a little crazy. They took another step yesterday toward a little crazier. I don't know if we're done taking crazy steps yet or not. So what's our responsibility? How are we going to show the world that we're his disciples? Are they going to see love? John wasn't the only one that talked about it. So I'll refer back to this, which has been, actually, this text has been brought up once this year already, at least once. But it's an easy text to bring up, and it's a good text, and we should never forget it. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. All the supernatural gifts that I can experience will only be an irritation to those that are lost if it's not coming through love. And without love, I am nothing. I am nothing. Give me all the titles you want to give me. Tell me how important I am. Call me whatever you want to call me. I'm still nothing. Even if I can move mountains, even if they called me Tim the miracle worker, I'd rather be Tim the lover. It's more important to be full of love. And for people to see the love. And I may have all sorts of amazing spiritual knowledge and understanding, and I can explain things forward, backwards, upside down, right side up, and every other way. And by the way, the Pharisees were really good at it. It's when Jesus said to them, you think through the scripture you have life, but it's the scriptures that testify of me. They couldn't see the guy that fulfilled the scriptures right in front of them. Because they couldn't see love. Because they weren't about love. And if I do all the right stuff and I'm not motivated by love, I can do all the good things. I can check off the checklist. There are wonderful philanthropists out there who just do so much for everybody, but if they don't do it out of love, it profits them nothing. The scriptures, they aren't going to get their money's worth no matter how much money they spend if they don't do it out of love. Wow. So do the stuff. You know, go to churches on here. Please go to church. Here. This is good. But somewhere. You know, do that. Read your Bible. Read your Bible, and every time you read it, say, Lord, help me to understand what's going on here. And by the way, he says by his Spirit he will do that. But yeah, we can help each other too. And that's part of love. But when you read it, oh, Lord, help me to be more loving. Right? It's full of the love of God if we see the love of God as our priority. Lord, help me to be more full of your love. Powerful thought, isn't it? I read it not to just figure certain passages out, but I read it so that I can love him more and I can love others more. And by the way, it's okay to figure passages out. Anybody in here, when you get Revelation totally figured out, you let me know. And then I'll listen to you explain it while I giggle. Yeah. Yeah. Read your Bible to become a greater lover, not to win doctrinal debates. Pray to be a better lover. That's what I'm praying for. By the way, Wednesday nights are good. Come out and pray for an hour on Wednesday nights that you'd love better. Oh, it's just I'm busy. And I know. Set aside some time somewhere, someday. But we're having fun on Wednesdays. Pray to be a better lover, not just to get cool stuff from God. Pray to be a better lover. I think that we should place everything we say and do under the lens of love so that we can stay focused on loving one another so that indeed they'll say, oh yeah, that Lori, I know, she's a disciple because she loves. Cord, he's a disciple because I know because he loves. Marlene, she is such a loving person. By the way, she is. But she's like, I could love a little bit more. How many of you have some people that you, I love you, but I want to strangle you? Well, because we're in that political season, that's why I'm saying that. You know, we all have those moments. I love you.
Weeping, wailing, and gnashing
of teeth. I think most of that's when I try to love people that aren't needed love. That's when I'm weeping, wailing, and oh, God help me, I don't want to love this person. You know, it can be really tough. But wouldn't it be great if everybody associated your name with love? Like, is there any higher thing that you could wish for or want than for them to associate your name with love? And that's not going to be easy for any of us. I certainly know it's never been, nor probably will ever be, easier for me. But if I try, it might get easier. Right? All right. Our church is going to continue to be the church that works on lots of different aspects of who we are. So I'm going to work on encouraging you in your understanding of the Word of God. And I'm going to encourage you in your understanding of you know, how to walk and how to live and how to behave and all those things. But if any of that isn't me helping you be more loving, smack me and say, that's not right. I need to be more loving. How do I do this and that? If I've missed that anywhere, oh Lord, help me to do better. I'm not dead yet. I still got time to become a more loving person. And by this shall all men know whether or not I'm really a disciple, because I'm a loving guy. All right, let's stand up.